So there was this girl I was talking to at the time, and I needed to have a talk. Yeah, that one. And we decided that we would go to our local college town statue to do so. Many kids that go to our college went to hang out there, take pictures, climb on the statue, college kid stuff. Basically, this statue was 30 minutes away from the middle of just farmland. The road to get there is a small, one lane each direction road. I don't know the story behind it or anything, but it's a popular, you'd think safe, place. So we decide to head out, and it's probably 1 a.m. at that point. So you could see the stars and all of that. It was pitch black outside. When we got there, I got a really creepy feeling, but we wanted to take a look at the statue, so we got out of the car anyway and proceeded to walk to the statue. About a 5 minute walk from the gravel parking spot. We take a look and decided to get back in my car because it was dark and cold outside. This is when I decided to keep my engine running and back up into the spot so I could look at the small road to see if anything was happening. About 10 minutes into our conversation, I see a large white SUV, I think it's an Escalade, drive past us. I didn't think anything of it, but it was the only other car we'd seen all night. The car drives maybe a quarter of a mile down the road and suddenly does a 3-point turn. Weird, but it's not a problem. He then comes back towards us and takes a right onto a side road that sat directly in front of us. At this point, I'm like, okay, he missed a turn, no problem. About a quarter mile down the side road, the SUV does another 3-point turn and is now facing my car directly. The SUV is stopped 100 feet or so in front of us, with its headlights blaring down my car, a compact sedan. Now, I was like, okay, this is super weird, I'm gonna get out of here. Suddenly, the car drives straight ahead into our gravel lot and sort of blocks off the only entrance and exit. The SUV then sits here again, and we're directly facing each other. At this point, all of my spidey senses are in full gear, and I'm ready to book it. The girl with me is like, no, we need to finish talking, he's just being weird. I decide to just start hauling ass, and as soon as I squeeze my car out of the lot onto the road, the SUV is tailing me. So I'm like, okay, this guy obviously wants to do something with us. I told the girl to call the cops, but of course, in the middle of nowhere, there's no service. I start to absolutely push my car, and I'm going 120 plus miles per hour on this small country road surrounded by nothing. And of course, the SUV is right on our tail. The road that we're on is straight of nothingness for 15 miles, and we continue driving. Once we finally reached to a sense of civilization, there was an intersection with other cars. I finally get my sigh of relief and thought this guy would leave us alone, so just to test or trick him, I turn on my left signal and get ready to turn. I turn my wheel enough so that it looks like I was going to turn, and then I put my entire weight on my gas and went straight. He followed me exactly, with the turn signal, turning, accelerating, everything. A couple of miles later, we finally get reception and call the police. As we're on the phone with them, there is a brightly lit gas station, one of those big ones, like Quick Trip or Racetrack, and we turn into that because if this guy's gonna kill or kidnap us, he's gonna have to do it where other people can see. As soon as I turn into that gas station, he books it and hauls ass wherever the hell he was going. We gave a description of what happened to us to the dispatcher and continued on our conversation. To this day, I don't know what the person wanted or what their objective was, but I'm glad I didn't find out. This story takes place in November 2017. I was 18. I'm a very short girl, 4'10", and I get anxious when someone even looks at me in a way to suggest they might not like me. So needless to say, I'm incredibly non-confrontational. My friend and I were out shopping. It was something we'd do maybe every few months just to bond since we didn't have much time to hang due to college. She's just like me, barely scraped 5'1" and very non-confrontational. It's probably why we became friends. On every shopping trip, we'd find ourselves in Ann Summers. We're both overly endowed and struggle to find bras anywhere else. And Ann Summers had some great sales, so we'd grab at the cheap bras while we could. This shopping trip wasn't any different. We browsed shops until we got to Ann Summers, but that's when things took a turn. I'd barely stepped foot into the shop when a woman with sort of a Slavic accent stopped me, her finger jammed into my chest. "Spit the gum out," she demanded. Assuming she was an employee, I gave her a very sheepish, "I'm really sorry," and ran out of the shop and spat my gum out and threw it away. When I went back in, I realized that this woman was not an employee. She was a customer who was browsing and happened to be near the door when my friend and I entered the shop. It should have been obvious to me at the time, no salesperson would ever have been like that. Not one that wanted to keep their job anyway. But I kept my head down, and when I walked past her, holding my breath in hopes that she wouldn't notice me again, she didn't, and I thought I was in the clear. My friend and I browsed the shop, trying to avoid the woman, but the shop wasn't very big, probably only 15 feet by about 18 feet, so eventually I ended up at the sales stand by the door where she had been stood. I tried to keep my distance while browsing. I was looking at the price tags, but realized I didn't know what the discount was, so I leaned over slightly to check the discount sign. It's important to note that this woman had a pushchair, which is a stroller for the Americans. You'd think that maybe she had a child in this pushchair, but no, it was full of plastic carrier bags. I didn't look too much at it, but I could tell that everything in there was double bagged and tied shut. Whatever was in those bags, she wanted to protect. This sense of protection became very relevant because when I leaned over to look at the discount sign, I was leaning slightly close to her pushchair. She was about 3 feet away, but apparently it was too close. The woman was on the other side of the chair, but the moment she saw me, she ran around it to where I was stood. She hit me in the face. It was somewhere between a slap and a punch. I couldn't quite tell because I was in shock. All I knew is that it hurt. "Watch the personal space," she hissed in my ear. I apologized to her. This woman just hit me and I apologized to her. I regret it now, but at the time, I didn't want to provoke her any further. Not that I knew that I did anything to provoke her in the first place. In shock, I turned around and ran to the back area, grabbing my friend's hand and pulling her with me. The back area was separated by a tiny wall that only stretched halfway across the shop since the adult toys were stored there and wanted to keep them out of sight from the general public. I stood there, holding my friend's hand and shaking as I whispered, "She just hit me," to my friend. We stood there for a good minute in silence. My friend was positioned in a way that she could see the rest of the store while I hid behind the wall. "She's gone," my friend told me. I let out a breath that I didn't know I was holding. "Can we stay in here a while?" I asked my friend, worried that the woman would be outside waiting for me. The front of the store was open, but she could have easily just have been a couple of feet down the road and out of sight, waiting for me to leave. My friend agreed and we slowly browsed the shop again. About 5 minutes later, we got to the counter to check out. The girl working behind the counter looked outside, then looked back at us. That woman had been in here for 30 minutes. I didn't know what to do. She told the two of us. "She told me to spit out my gum when we first came in, and then she hit me because I was too close to her," I told her. "She hit you?" The worker was wide-eyed. "If I'd known that, I would have called security. I'm so sorry." I smiled and shrugged. "It's fine." It really wasn't fine, but it wasn't the worker's fault. She didn't look too much older than I did, and I wouldn't have known what to do in her situation either. Still shaken up, my friend and I made our way out the store. I looked around, but I didn't see the woman. "Can we go home now?" I asked my friend. We hadn't finished browsing all the shops, but I was just so paranoid we'd bump into the woman again. She agreed, and we got the bus home. When I got home, my parents encouraged me to report the incident to the police. I called the non-emergency line, and their answer was basically, "Well, what do you expect us to do about it?" Unless I went back to the Ann Summers and requested the security footage, which I wasn't even sure if they actually had. They wouldn't do anything. It's been over 3 years now, and I'm sure that the woman was likely to have been homeless and or on drugs. It's the only explanation I can think of for the carrier bags and their protectiveness. It was either everything she owned or drugs, or both. So, to the possibly homeless, possibly drugged up woman who hit me, I hope in the current state the world is treating you well and you're finally getting the personal space you wanted, but let's not meet again. This was several years ago now, when I was in college, and I was headed back to my apartment late one night after being out with friends. As I went to make a left turn into the complex, I checked to see if anyone was behind me, and since no one was in front of me or behind me, I opted not to worry about using a turn signal. I parked outside my building, and as I was crossing the street to get to my apartment, a car was driving towards me. I wondered where it came from, since I was sure no one was near me when I turned in, but I was only 18, very short and naive, and instead of being cautious or fearful, I instead wanted to be helpful. The car stopped approximately 16 feet or so away from me as I was right in the middle of the street, and a man got out and asked, "Do you live here?" I thought maybe he needed directions, and I told him that I did live there. As he asked this, he's walking towards me, and as soon as I answered, he lunged at me, grabbed a handful of my hair with his right hand, and grabbed my throat with his left, and started dragging me to his car as he growled that he ought to cut my effing neck. To say that I was in shock was an understatement. His car was running with the door open, and it wasn't until I saw his car door before my brain literally used my name and said, "Caitlin, scream." Once I finally started screaming, he pushed me away while he jumped in his car and took off, and I ran to the apartment. I was shaking so badly I could barely get my key in the lock, and once inside, I realised my boyfriend was there because he'd usually come by earlier in the night to surprise me, but since I wasn't home, he'd gone off to bed. Of course I was still freaking out, but instead of him being concerned, he acted like an ass because he was upset that I was coming in so late and I didn't even call the police. Once I told my mum the next day, she insisted that I call them, but nothing ever came of it. I often wondered what the guy thought I did to deserve to have my effing neck cut. I'm sure it wasn't because I didn't use a turn signal, so I even wonder where he came from. I never wanted to meet him again, else ever did. Back in July 2018, me and my three best friends decided to go on a vacation to Barcelona. The four of us, all females, were 18 at the time and just finished our freshman year of college. For context, we had planned this trip for several months, but the lazy asses we are took our time before booking our flights and Airbnb. We eventually started our search in May, and if you have ever been to Barcelona, you might know that it's already pretty late if you want to find an affordable and well-located summer accommodation. We ended up scrolling on several websites for days as everything was way out of our budget. One of my friends finally found this very decent studio located on the Ramblas, a very touristy neighbourhood. The condo was actually located on a narrow street that was perpendicular to the main Rambla. You had to walk about 500 metres, about 0.3 miles, until you arrived at a sketchier end of the street, where the flat was. It didn't really bother us as the building was pretty secure. You had to open the first front door that led to the streets, then you had to take the stairs to the second floor, where you had a second door which required another key. This second door led to three condos, so we had a third and final key to our personal flat. This final door didn't have any outdoor handle, which meant that if we were to leave without our keys, we would end up locked out. There was finally no outside handle on the balcony door either. You could only open the door from the inside. It might seem like a lot of details, but it's important for what comes next. The day we checked in, we were pretty excited despite our terrible exhaustion. We'd been travelling for 15 hours at that point, so we decided to go smoke a cigarette on the balcony. The balcony next to ours belonged to the next door neighbours, who were a bunch of Italian boys who we only met on that very moment. They'd been pretty loud throughout our stay, but we never thought too much of it. As last elements of context, our condo was disposed as follows. The front door led to the main room, which there was two of my friends were sleeping. There was a bed on the left, and at the end of the room was the living room, which also worked as a kitchen and a bedroom. The sofa was foldable, where my third friend and I were sleeping. We were there for 5 nights. As the young woman that we were, our daily routine was pretty consistent. We'd go clubbing every night, go home around 4 a.m, pass out in our beds and wake up at 11. We'd then visit the city until about 7 p.m. and get ready to repeat. Our first 3 nights were awesome. We had made some male friends who were staying in Barcelona too, so we'd meet up with them and it was fun. Yet the fourth night was rather creepy. We'd gone home at 4 a.m, screwed around with my friends for an hour until we fell asleep at about 5. Around 7:30, my friend who was sleeping with me in the room and suffers from sleep paralysis wakes up as she feels something is tickling her ankle. She opens her eyes and sees someone crouching at the end of the bed, his hand on her ankle, as if he was looking at something under the bed. At this moment, she's convinced that she's experienced sleep paralysis again, but the fear makes her sit on the bed and shout, "What the F?" which rarely happens with sleep paralysis, as your muscles are often numb. The shouting wakes me up, and I see the guy too, at the end of our bed, and still half asleep I whisper, "Edward?" I think I'd been dreaming about a friend of mine and confused this guy with him. The guy gets scared, suddenly gets up and stares at us, and then tiptoes away saying, "Oops, oops, oops." He walks past the bed where my friends are dead asleep and walks out the front door. My friend and I stayed up for a long time talking about what we just experienced, and then we woke the other girls up and told them the story. We never knew how this guy broke into our flat, and he didn't steal anything, even though we had ostentatiously left our credit cards, IDs, phones, and cash on the table. The only thing is, that night, we didn't lock the front door, but it was closed, so normally no one could open it as there was no handle, unless someone had a key. We chose not to talk to the police about it because of this, as it could have told us that we were responsible for not locking the door properly. We also chose not to tell the landlord for the same reason, but also because we didn't want it to ruin our last day there. We tried contacting the neighbours, the Italian guys, and went to their flat and knocked, but they never opened the door. Looking back at it, we should have definitely done something about it, as we shouldn't have stayed there for another minute, but we were too young, I guess. We never figured out what the guy wanted, nor what he was looking for under the bed. None of this makes sense, to be fair. Why would someone come to someone's place, uninvited, to look for something at 7:30 while the occupants are asleep? I guess we'll never know. This happened to me when I was 21, after an OD suicide attempt. I woke up in the hospital in the middle of the night to a nurse saying he needed to replace my IV. He jabs me 2 or 3 times, but doesn't hit a vein. So I ask if I could get someone else to try. He says no and keeps going. As he's doing this, he's pushing and wiggling the needles around under my skin, saying he's trying to forget the vein. By the 7th or 8th needle, it registers that he's intentionally trying to hurt me. I ask him, "Why are you doing this?" He just says, "It's your own fault you're here." I was too weak to fight back, and it was the middle of the night. There was no one else around I could call out to. I have no idea how many times he ended up puncturing me in the end. The next day, a different nurse was talking about my IV. She was horrified because she said it was the biggest needle she'd ever seen used on a living patient. Not sure why you'd need to use needles on a dead patient, but that's what she said anyway. A lot of people shrug this off when I tell them about it, but it was so terrifying being alone, helpless, and knowing that the person who was supposed to care for you hated you and wanted to cause you pain. So yeah, nurse who loves huge needles and hates mentally ill girls, let's never meet again. Edit. Thanks for everyone for your kind words of support. You don't even know what it means to me. For those wondering, I'm doing much better now. This happened 7 years ago, and I didn't report it. Very small town. I was scared that people I worked with would find out about my suicide attempt if I pursued it. Plus, I was just focused on survival. You've all encouraged me though, and I'm doing my best to track this guy down and report it to someone. Sending my love to all of those who shared their own medical stories of abuse and trauma in the comments. This past September, I had taken a road trip down to Myrtle Beach with my family. It was myself, my mother, my sister, her husband and their 2 kids. We had used my car and both my sister and my husband's car to transport everything and all of us. We had rented a beach house for a little over a week and had a pretty great time. I was in the middle of a difficult point in my life and struggling with employment and being in between jobs and having just started 2 new jobs fresh. I was a little low on funds and worried about making my car payments and the like. So I opted to head home 2 days early with my car so I could try and get more hours at work. My family expressed being nervous as I planned to leave after dinner and drive through the night to get home. I consoled them that I'd be okay to be up all night and I'd just head straight home and only stop for gas and food as needed. I'm an excellent driver, a tad impatient, so I tend to go until I absolutely had to stop and take a break. However, this would be a 12-hour trip, and I knew I needed breaks. So I made a point to stop at every rest stop and at least get out and stretch, so I stayed awake and didn't get too sore. Going through West Virginia, I'm sure you guys know how secluded their rest stops and visitor centers and the likes are, especially when you're heading north from the south, going through the mountains. I stopped at a visitor center because they had advertising that they had fast food joints, and I had to piss like a racehorse. This was sometime very late at night, maybe 1 a.m. to 3 a.m. sometime. Side note that sent shivers down my spine after what happened. I like to drive barefoot, so I pulled in, noticed the buildings with fast food were closed, so I drove around the parking lot under a streetlight in front of the visitor center so I could use the restroom. Leaning out my door, I took my time putting my shoes on to walk inside, having looked around and not seeing anything out of the ordinary. I checked my phone and grabbed my wallet before standing up to walk in, making sure my car horn had beeped to signal the doors were locked. Walking towards the center, I saw a man in a white hoodie standing at the edge of the sidewalk leaning into the center. I didn't think much of it until I passed him and got an off vibe. I glanced over my shoulder and he was watching me walk in. For some reason, I glanced to my left as I turned back to face forward and noticed another man sitting on the benches that were on the other side of the tall thin bushes. Instantly I thought, nope, 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 nope. I went in and peed, and before I walked out of the bathroom, I called my roommate. As dumb as it was, because he was a good 4 to 6 hours away, I just felt safer. I gave him a rundown of my situation and made him stay on the phone with me. I started to walk out, and I couldn't see the man at the front of the sidewalk anymore. I glanced to my now right and saw both men standing next to a bench. Facing forward, I saw a couple walking in to presumably use the restroom as well. I had an impulse to ask them to walk with me, but my paranoia kicked in because I knew something was wrong somewhere in my situation and I didn't ask, thinking they might know the men. Walking briskly to my car, I explained to my roommate that the men were by the benches. Daring the smallest of the peaks over my shoulder again, I saw the man in the white hoodie walking towards me and told my roommate. Walking a few more paces, I looked back again and saw his pace had quickened. At this point, I told my roommate that he's following me to my car and I booked it. I thankfully had a fob key. I got my key out and ready, and I locked my car and practically threw myself in, not daring a glance back. I threw my car in reverse and gunned it backwards before going back into drive and sped off and didn't even stop to put my seatbelt on until I was at the exit to leave the parking lot. I didn't look back once. Stopped at the next toll road and filed a report, and the workers called for state troopers to head over to check things out. I didn't stop shaking for hours, and I refused to get out of my car until I was home. I horrified myself at the thought of, if those guys had paid attention and made their move more quickly, they could have incapacitated me at my car while I was facing the ground and putting my shoes on, and I could have had absolutely no defense.